ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, Filippo Voltaggio. Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. Ionways ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an Ionways ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. Ionways Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about Ionways Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Ciao, everyone. Our guest today, I know some of you maybe read it on Facebook and Twitter and are wondering, what's up? Well, our guest today is indeed a Christian minister and so, so much more. But even that alone, we're glad to have him on to talk about life changes, really, from his perspective. His name is William Wally, and he'll be on with us in just a little bit. Mark is with us today. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Filippo.
You know, actually, as soon as I said, hey, Mark, it reminded me of what I did want to talk about today during the monologue. I did want to share, and you'll like this, I want to share with everybody that I don't do weddings anymore. I used to sing at a lot of weddings many, many years ago, and I'm very flattered that people wanted me for the special. You know, a wedding singer is actually really important because a wedding band could totally ruin your wedding. So anyway, I was always honored that people wanted me at their weddings, and I was always nervous because I was afraid that, you know, I wouldn't know how to do one of their favorite songs or something anyway. But that was many, many years ago. After all these years, a friend of mine who does these really big, high-class, very, very posh, Beverly Hills-y type celebrity blah, blah, blah weddings, him and his band and big band and all that, called me in a panic saying that he was going to... he was going to do a big wedding and needed me. And I said, no, I don't sing weddings. And he said, no, I need you. And he says, I need you to MC the wedding. I'm like, oh, okay. Now I have MC'd a lot of weddings, but that was as the bander, not as as just an MC. And I don't mean just an MC, but I mean, as the MC, I'm not going to be singing. I'm not going to be part of the band. I'm the MC. Okay. So, here is what happened. I first said no. And then they offered me all kinds of money to do this. And I didn't, I couldn't refuse, actually. It's like, really? Okay, sure, I'll do it. So I did it. Now, the bride wants to meet with me. She wants to make sure I have all the details of this wedding and what's going to happen and how I'm supposed to do something and this and that and how I'm supposed to say things. So we meet at a very exclusive hotel in L.A. And it's high class and everything is just beautiful. And that's where we meet. And we're going to have a conversation about the wedding. And she tells me where the wedding's going to be at another exclusive high-class hotel in Los Angeles. So I had a picture with the amount of money that they were paying me and paying the band and where it's going to be. I had a picture in my mind of what this wedding was going to be like. And I was sure that I was right about this picture. In any event, I got to the wedding. Now, I'm in tuxedo, full garb, you know, dressed to the nines. I walk into the hotel. It's very beautiful. I'd been there before, but the room was decorated exquisitely. It was just everything was like first class, everything. The band was all ready to go. They had the DJ. They had everything going. It was just great. And there I was. I'm the MC. And all of a sudden, it's time to go. And the caterer, whoever, all the manager, all these people involved were already waiting at the door, just the whole, you know, kid glove kind of thing. And the people start to walk in. And right away, I thought, what's going on? Am I at the wrong wedding? Or I thought, is this a practical joke? I mean, I at first was like, what is this? I wasn't thinking this could possibly happen, that people were walking in sandals, and there are sandals and there are sandals. These are like beach sandals, and it wasn't like they were dressed casual. It was like this was the best some of these people had, it looks like, because ladies' hair wasn't all done up, and the dresses weren't necessarily that expensive from the look. And then the men started to come in, and their shirts were hanging out, and they were a little bit drunk already, and I'm thinking, what's going on? And then I noticed that it was an ethnic group, and I realized that I'd never met the groom, and that the groom was of a nationality where either they don't dress up for these events, or he's of a different class structure, so to speak, than her. And all of a sudden, everything that I had prepared, all of what she had prepared me to do, I thought I was going to stand there and say, no, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and do all of this stuff, me and my tuxedo and all that stuff. All of a sudden, it's time for me to start. And I'm thinking, it's not going to fly what I was going to do. And I don't know where it came from, but I just yelled out, oh, hey, here we go. And how's everybody doing? And I just completely different guy. And I was having fun with it. I have fun with the other, but I was having fun with it. And I was laughing inside of me. And the band was looking at me because they know me. And this is not how I've ever done any kind of function. And it was just completely different. And then when the bride comes in, I'm like, it's here for the bride. Blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the whole thing, I went up to, actually the bride and groom came up to me, and the bride hugged me, and I went to shake the groom's hand, and he grabbed me and held me in a hug and said, this was a dream come true. Thank you. Thank you. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm touched. And I have to say, I think it's because he felt respected and honored, and that I didn't talk down to them. And I mean, hey, it was a wedding, and anything I can do, I was there to help them have a swell time. You know what I mean, Mark?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that you stepped into that kind of juxtaposition with so much confidence is a perfect example of how we mirror or the people that we perform to, and this is, you know, can be in relationships that we are interacting with, mirror back to us the confidence and you know, the place that we're coming from. So, you know, if you're standing in a place of confidence, even in that type of environment, and they, you know, they get you, then, you know, that's definitely mirroring back the fact that, that you're owning your role in that place, regardless of what type of crowd you're interacting with.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't have time to think about it then, but now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking, you know, hey, who am I to say it's supposed to be one way or another? And you know, it's just, you know, it's like, again, it's their wedding. It's meeting people where they are, right?
Exactly, exactly. Meeting people where they are.
And you know, and how appropriate that just happened. Because our guest today, William Wally or Bill Wally, does just that. Actually, he did just that, from the moment he, stepped into ministry. Mark, you know him even better than I, do, the way he talks and the things he talks about, right?
Well, this is exactly why I wanted to have Bill on the show. He is such a special individual, but beyond that, we have preconceived notions sometimes of what a certain person may or may not be based on titles and, you know, the different perspectives on Christianity, on where, you know, certain people's views may be coming from. The more I would talk to Bill, the more I would find out we were in alignment. And I thought, well, how interesting that, that we come from different positions, but we end up, you know, so in alignment on so many topics.
You know, it's interesting because that's actually the first thing that I said to him. He knows the show, he's heard the show, and I'm thinking, where does he stand on what he's heard or what he knows about us? And he says, you know, we're in agreement, man. I said, well, from what perspective, really? And he says, well, you know what? You might say the universe. I'll say, you know, Christ or God. And you might say, you know, and it's like he says, it's we're together on this. So we're going to be together on this in just a couple of minutes, actually, when we bring Bill on. So we'll be back with William Wally right after this.
A healthy new you is on its way, and it starts with laminine. Laminine is a natural, synergistic superfood that contains most known vitamins, important trace minerals, all 8 essential amino acids, and other nutritional elements. Laminine is nature's most perfect food and the perfect combination of life-giving sustenance sourced from land, sea, and plants. The key ingredient in laminine is a normal adaptogen called fibroblast growth factor, which helps to create a balance or normalization and aids in restoring the body to its natural state of homeostasis. Regular use of laminine has been known for reducing the signs of aging by giving you healthier skin, decreasing the effects of stress, increasing physical, mental, and emotional strength, increasing libido, and it's also been believed to elevate serotonin levels, thus improving mood, aiding in brain function, and increasing alertness and focus, all while developing an overall sense of well-being. Are you ready for the healthy new you? For more information, email trylaminine@gmail.com. That's laminine, L-A-M-A-N-I-N-E. Or call 818-462-6782. That's 818-462-6782.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
It sure is, and I am Filippo. This is Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network, and we are going to be talking to Bill Wally here in just a second. He is a minister in the United Church of Christ, serving Kenwood United Church of Christ on Chicago's South Side. He has served this mid-sized African-American congregation as an associate pastor for the past 12 years of his 14 years in ministry. He has come to identify and claim the African-American church and its heritage as his spiritual ancestry. Prior to becoming a minister and during the past 12 years as well, Bill has been in a wide variety of life situation and business and career endeavors. He has been involved in raising special needs children. He's been involved in politics and community action issues, as well as having a variety of businesses and professional positions in the social service area, commercial real estate, automotive industry, arts, media, and finance industries. Wow, talk about life changes. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Filippo. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you, and it's good to have a minister on, because some people think that what we're talking about on Life Changes is either religious but not their religion, or is a religion of its own, but it's not. I think the majority of the world would actually speak the same language if we took away some of the words. Right?
Well, I don't know about taking away some of the words. I mean, there are the things that you talk about and the positive things you talk about and the way people are lifted up is very much part of Christianity and much of the thinking and the way of being that we have in American society that is like that. It does have Christian origins and roots. In other words, Jesus taught a way to live. And that way, of course, includes at its core, love your neighbor as yourself. So that really combines two things. Take care of yourself, love yourself, and be in peace and harmony with your neighbor, which really means, in that case, everybody.
Well, There it is. No, I didn't mean certain words. It's certain words that some of us get hung up on, like we were talking about, and I've actually shared with other people as well this conversation where someone says, well, you know, some people use the word universe, I use the word God. And somebody else says, well, I don't like to use the word God because it has the connotations of, you know, this old man with a beard, and to me, God. So if we could agree on a word that everybody could use, we might actually be speaking about a lot of the same things.
Well, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but there's an element of a personal connection, which often means a cultural connection as well. That is, when I was 13, 14 years old, that is who I thought God was, an old white man sitting on a cloud with a long white beard.
Right.
Now, that's pretty limiting, actually, of course, but this, if we are too universal and abstract, then there's not a connection with a strong personal connection with the transcendent being. It all becomes kind of soft and fuzzy, and then often turns inward and becomes very humanistic rather than a religious or a spiritual lifting up, taking us beyond ourselves.
You know, actually, I like the thought that just came to me that somebody who thinks God is a white bearded old man in a closet, as you said, maybe that's what they need to think of him as, or of God as, in order for them to be able to start assimilating some of the truth about God or something. This is new to me. I'm just developing this thought as I'm speaking to you. Can you finish it for me, maybe?
Well, yes. What you're saying is true. And it speaks to the fact that we all are raised in a culture. And that culture is family, and it has limitations, it has boundaries. So those are the things we first fundamentally learn to connect to. For example, in an African American church in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when congregations would be taking over churches or have a crucifix of Jesus on the wall, it's actually happened in the church in which I was a member, and that was a depiction of Jesus as a white man on the cross. Mm-hmm. Well, that of course did not speak directly to the African American members. And that eventually, of course, many churches have changed that and now see Jesus as African. And the reason for that is that part of it is historical facts, and the other part is that depiction of Jesus speaks to them, speaks to their heart, just as you're implying. I mean, for people of European background, a depiction of Jesus speaks to their heart. When you look at pictures of and images of Jesus in Asia, he is often Asian. That makes this personal connection.
That is interesting. And, you know, actually, and speaking of culture, and then you mentioned the African American community, did you choose that you were going to be as a white man? I know you have different words for the white man, but as a white man, did you choose saying, I'm going to go into this community and work with them? Or how did that come to be?
Well, the answer is yes, but not the formulation, the way you just framed it. That's, the formulation was, this is a place that speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll actually never forget when I was first in my first church, when I came back to Christianity, and I was talking with an old trustee of the church, and he said to me, why are you here? And what he really meant was, are you living out some liberal fantasy, or are you condescending to come to us to help us? And my answer was, no, I'm coming to a place that speaks to my head and to my heart and to my emotions. So I came to be ministered to worship and be devoted to a Christian experience and really a Christian narrative, a story that is really part of all of our story, the one that spoke to me.
You know, Bill, it's fascinating to me because you not only minister to African Americans, you actually feel that I don't know. Do you call it reincarnation, or what do you call it? That you feel that it is your past or part of your energy, or how do you say that?
Regarding what, claiming that heritage, that tradition?
Right, claiming that heritage, exactly.
None of the above as far as reincarnation and that kind of thing is concerned. It's more of a, how does both the story, the narrative of Africans in America and Africans in the church speak to who Jesus was, how Jesus is in my life? And the fact that that my needs are spoken to, the emotional, spiritual needs I have in worship and so on, are spoken to. So it's kind of a here and now kind of experience, rather than a broader, higher, more transcendent. I mean, God is transcendent, Jesus is transcendent, but the everyday experience is what speaks to my heart.
Yeah, you share some camaraderie or common grounds on a certain level. I think it's fascinating, and I have felt the same with actually several different, not several, but a handful of other cultures, ironically, even though I was raised Italian American, I've connected on some levels, but this is beyond, because it's a religious and spiritual. But so we'll get into some of the religious and spiritual, and I can't wait to, because I can't wait. So I am Filippo with Life Changes with Filippo. I've been wanting to have this conversation for a long time. So and we'll be right back with Bill Wally right after this.
Today, experience The Quick Fix, a simple process for positive change. Written by Bradley Quick, author, producer, motivational speaker, and host of the award-winning radio talk show, The Quick Fix with Bradley Quick on CoolChangeRadio.com. Bradley's passion for life is evident in his book, written so you can experience health, find your purpose, and have more effective relationships. Beating insurmountable odds, overcoming death and being paralyzed, Bradley fought his way back so he could help you conquer your struggles. Experience increased health, vitality, passion, and purpose in your life right now with The Quick Fix, and read about Bradley's courage, ambition, and determination to live. Whether the issue is your thoughts, your physical body, or you just want to feel better and be happy, The Quick Fix, a simple process for positive change, will change your life. For only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, take positive action now and receive a free guided meditation CD with your order. That's a $20 value free with your order today. Go to BradleyQuick.com. That's BradleyQuick.com. Take control and begin feeling better now. Get the book and free CD now at BradleyQuick.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. And now a public service announcement from E! News anchor Juliana Rancic for the National Italian American Foundation.
We're fighters. You know, Italians are fighters, and we have passion, and we take great pride in our work. I truly believe that if I weren't Italian and I didn't have my parents, who are the ultimate Italians, as role models, I really don't believe I would ever have reached my goal. I'm an Italian American, and I am so proud of it.
The Italian American heritage. Live it, love it, celebrate it.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and I am Filippo, and I am so glad you are listening because I think we have the most exciting conversations. They're conversations that I like to listen to, and this one in particular. Bill Wally is a minister in the United Church of Christ serving Chicago's South Side, and he's with us today. We've talked about some fascinating things already, but two of the things that I really, really want to talk about now, Bill, is being a Christian in the eyes of other people, and I'll explain what I mean by that, and then hopefully we'll get to the second thing. But so sometimes we don't represent ourselves the best that we can. So I don't always go out into the world as the best Filippo I can be. So you know, I'm not trying to judge, but it just seems that a lot of Christians seem to be taught to tell people that if they're not a Christian, they are not saved. And I loved your answer to when we talked about that, and I'm wondering if you can share a short version of that here with us on the show.
Well, yeah, saved is kind of has two kinds of connotations for me. One is the more traditional one, where you're saved and saved for the promise of the afterlife, taken into God's hands, and that, by the way, that's scriptural, and that's a fundamental tenet of Christian religion. The other kind, the other way that that's important to me is salvation through living, what I call a saved life. In the first chapter of Mark, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is near. It's at hand, depending on the translation that you use. And by that he means building the kingdom of heaven in this world. Mm. So when we are saved, we confess, we repent, we totally take Jesus into our heart and mind and spirit and put Jesus at the head of our life. But then, of course, the next moment, life starts again. So we are tempted. We have all the issues that we had before we were saved. They're still there. So it's a process of continuing to work on it so that I view it as a saved life in that sense, and that's the almost like the propulsion through life that commitment to Christ brings for us.
And you were saying that commitment to Christ is also about being, actually, explain what you were saying, some of what being Christ-like is, or what...
Well,
what...
yeah, I mean, of course, that means, like as I said earlier, that the great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, so that living a Christ-like life means promoting peace, promoting justice, promoting harmony, promoting life, promoting love, doing things that lift others up, as opposed to all the negative things we know that put ways we can put ourselves down and ways that we put each other down. And which, of course, back to one of the heart of my ministry has to do with cross-cultural things and marginalized and oppressed people, which, of course, was part of Jesus' mission as well.
Right.
But so it's really that we do have this struggle between the things we strive for in the Spirit, this Christ-like way of living, and the inevitable shortcomings, the inevitable times we fall short.
as we simply don't measure up.
Yes. Good. I'm glad we're done with that, because this is the shortcomings is what the second thing was I wanted to talk about.
Of course.
Now, I'm not making assumptions here. I'm looking at the data, and I see that you lived through the 60s and through the 70s, but you were around during the time where some people did some things that might be considered not Christ-like. And so this is a two-folded question. I'm not going to ask you if you did them, but, you can answer that if you want.
I'll tell you that I did. Huh?
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, so my point is, were you wrong back then, or was that what you needed maybe to learn so you could be the best you could be who you are now? And secondly, for those people that are doing that, let's say, whatever that is, are they in process too, potentially?
Well, quick answer to the second question is yes, all of us are in process as well, potentially, because under Christian beliefs, God's redemption is always possible. One can be saved by accepting Jesus Christ and believing in Christ, putting Christ ahead of your life. But to the other part, since we all live in this world, and we all do things that fall short, as the Apostle Paul would say, fall short of the glory of God, then, yes, it's all part of a process. And the most important thing, I mean, obviously, if you do dramatic negative things like kill somebody or cripple somebody, disable somebody for life, things like that, that carries with it powerful negative consequences that go on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is that as we do these things, how we react, how we grow from them, how we, in effect, look back, examine, reflect, or a Christian would say pray about what has happened in our life, becomes the path that we're on toward Christ-like living. But it's never perfect. It doesn't matter who the human is. They're always going to be making mistakes, needing to do better and come closer to the ideal of Christ-like living.
You know, and that makes it sound to me like life, in the sense that it just seems to me that everything we do, we strive to do better. If we cook something and it's not great, the next time we cook it, we want to cook it better.
I would disagree with that from this standpoint. That's an orientation that you may have, I have, and many listeners have. But of course, there are people for whom that's not true, and each of us probably has our own stuck points where we actually don't try to get better. We repeat negative patterns and go back to them. And you know, there are ways in which we carry around psychological burdens, things that make us react to in continuous negative ways. I mean, multiple marriages, multiple falling off the wagon, you know, drinking, drugs, repetitive negative experiences, or just as something simple like wanting to stop cursing, you can't do it, or whatever it might be. There are things that we get stuck in. Christian theology, of course, those are sin. They're getting away from the harmony, the Christ-like way of living that God would have for us.
Yeah, and I like what you just said, getting away from, and that reminds me, I've heard too that sin can be defined as missing the mark, and that brings it home to me.
Yes. Or alienation is another term that gets used. Alienated from God and what God has for us. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're running out of time here together, but I there's a phrase that is used in the African American culture, and that is keep on keeping on, and I was hoping you would just spend a couple seconds talking about that.
Well, keeping on is something that we all have to do. I mean, life every morning when we wake up, God has made a world in such that when we wake up every morning, there are problems to solve. Even if it's as simple as, what am I going to eat, and so on. But, of course, for many, many people in the world, 20-30%, every morning they wake up wondering, what am I going to eat? Am I going to be able to eat? But we have issues. We have problems every day, and, of course, there are psychological and social problems we have to face every day, too, whether it's getting up to look at and meet a significant other who we wish we weren't seeing or we're glad to see, but there are issues. All of those things. So keeping on is, there's a natural grace that God has built into all of us. We kind of move forward. And we move forward stumblingly if we don't move forward in faith and in a positive way. So keep on keeping on is a phrase in the African-American community which speaks to this in an even more dramatic way. It's true of all of us, but if you're African-American in this culture, you wake up every morning with the fact that folks are going to be looking down on you. How are you going to keep going? If you're Barack Obama, you can't get a cab as easily as an average white man. See? So keeping on against that, against slavery, against all the things and all the continued discrimination is a testament, a statement of faith that God will make a way. God will provide somehow. And keeping on is an expression of that faith. It's true for all of us. It's just more dramatic.
Thank you for sharing that, Bill. I know you know me by now already that I have already so many more questions that I'd love to share with you and hear your answers. And I hope we'll get to do that somehow, some way, whether on air or off the air. But in the meantime, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Likewise. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless indeed. And we'll be back with our producer's wrap right after this. I am Filippo with Life Changes with Filippo.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And that's me. I am Filippo, and this is Life Changes with Filippo after a great conversation with Bill Wally. And now our producer's wrap with Mark Lejeur. Mark, we used God, the Bible, and Jesus in all in one show, and I rather liked it.
See, life changes.
Yeah,
show changes. You know, I think this is a really important discussion for us. And I was thinking as I was listening to both of you speak and listening to Bill's insights, and of course I mentioned before the idea of the fact that we come from different places. From an outside perspective, but yet we have so many, we end up in the same common place. And I think ultimately that's at the heart of this, is that there's really one truth. And I think that's what Christ taught, as far as best that we would know. but I think beyond that, if the world could find, you know, it's easy to have discussions when you're talking to people that look at things the way you do, but that's not what creates dissension. It's the people that don't understand each other. And if people could take the time to share their perspectives and find common ground, which is what your discussion was finding that common ground, what a better world this would be.
Mm. Amen. There, we've used amen. the show keeps changing. Actually, I recently heard an interview of somebody I actually really respect, and that's why I was listening to the show. And I respect the interviewer and the interviewee. But one of the questions that was raised by the interviewer to the interviewee was, what do you do with an atheist? And as soon as I heard that question, I thought, what do you mean, what do you do? What's wrong with the atheist? I mean, that's putting judgment. And so that's kind of where my mind went when I asked Bill, if people are on their journey, they're on their journey. And if people see God as a man with a white beard, and, you know, that's how they see him for now, but we grow.
Well, and those are all perceptions that come from beliefs that are formed over a lifetime of influence. And, you know, Bill had his journey and his influences, and he came to his Christianity, and other people have their influences and find their religions or their perspectives, because I think in the past there's been a need to try to put things in boxes so that we can better understand them. So I think that's part of what you're saying, is you have things to identify with, but at the end of the day, if you were to take labels off, right, there's that common ground. There's one truth that we're all trying to share and access, and it always seems to point down the street to love.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. And now we use love. I think we're done. once you get to love, you're done. No, you know, now I'm sure Bill would say, I don't disagree with you on this, but, you know, and then he'd give me a different perspective, which I imagine you'll do the same thing here. But I just had this thought. I hope nobody's offended by it, but the thought is that in this lifetime, my parents were both born in a part of the world that we call Italy. And with that comes certain cultural differences, which if we want, we can celebrate because we like a lot of things that are Italian. And I don't necessarily like everything that's Italian, but most Italians don't either. So it's just there are some qualities that we like there. Now, like you said, he landed in Christianity, but if he had landed in Buddhist or Buddhism or something like that, can we just say that, you know, it's kind of like a different culture? It's like we all eat and we all love and we all want the best. Well, we might not all want the best, but that.
But generally, yeah, generally people are trying to make at least the best in their existence. You know, the best for their families, the best for their, you know, their daily journey. And this is, you know, you've heard me talk in the past about programming, you know, looking at our minds and our beings as, you know, hardware and computer programming and looking at all of those influences that, that make up one's life as lines of code. And when you kind of take the attachment and the ego out of it and you look at it that way, it's very hard to be judgmental of anybody, the atheist, the Muslim, the Christian, the whoever that grew up in certain environments and had certain influences and maybe only was exposed to what they were exposed to and therefore really could have no other, perspective to form their beliefs or their decisions on.
You know, I was going to say, aha, this is exactly what Bill would have argued, I think. He would have agreed on one hand, but then would have found, because obviously, being raised Italian is not the same thing as choosing a religion, but he did say that Jesus is depicted in some Asian countries as Asian and in some African American churches as African. African American looking. So isn't that kind of like, you know, making it work for your culture?
Well, this is probably for another show, but I think this is a good point to make because it starts to go down a slightly different path in terms of perspective. You know, we were brought up to believe in Christ and Christ's teachings. There aren't a lot of people, at least where I grew up in the Catholic Church, that knew much of the Essene Brotherhood and some of those perspectives. And of course, there are others. But I think the idea of this Christ
consciousness. And Jesus wasn't a scene, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the idea of a Christ consciousness, you know, those words are being used a lot in the kind of the New Age community, I guess you could call it, or those that are following the shift, starts to talk about the consciousness being a certain level of belief system, a certain perspective, a love-based, you know, a consciousness that embodies all of those principles that we were discussing and that Bill was discussing, but isn't necessarily owned by one man as it is a higher vibration that can be shared, you know, across cultures.
Mm. I like that. I do.
I think we're done again.
Yeah, we're on to something. I think we're done again. Done again. That's like born again Christian, done again. Anyway, no.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so, gosh, my mind is going a mile a minute because obviously this is touching on so many things that I grew up with and I'm trying to rationalize and understand. And so, yes, this requires another show. I'm making an executive decision. Are you with me on this?
Well, it's probably one of the more important discussions we've had because it's easy to have easy discussions and steer away from, you know, firm and or fixed or passionate belief systems. But this is what we're trying to do, right? Is to explore these types of topics and look and understand how people see things and share. And again, try to find that common ground.
And, well, excellent.
That's what we do.
Excellent. So I say bring on the Christians and the Catholics and the Hindi and the gurus. Let's talk to them. I want to know more. And so with that, and more life will change. And in the meantime, this has been Life Changes with Filippo. And I want to thank not only our guest, Bill Wally, but of course our producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our co-host, Mark Lejeure, and all of you for being part of the show with us, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks. I am Filippo Voltaggio saying, remember, as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.